Sit down.
Where?
Here.
All the wires.
Just step over them. Why are you being the biggest baby? No.
No. No.
I need you to be human for 5 seconds.
For 10 seconds, I need you to be human. Wake up, San Francisco.
Welcome to I Spit on Your Podcast with... Help us.
I guess I'm here too.
Let's try it again. Right. I didn't even say me. This isn't like thanks for throwing me in there, Pam.
I don't know. Let's start over.
You are in rare form.
You are rare like a burger.
Welcome to I Spit on Your Podcast.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Pam. And
today's episode
is all about Jared Marantz. Jared Marantz is an incredibly talented designer in Hollywood.
That is absolutely correct. You may not know his name, but you're definitely a fan of his work. I guarantee it.
He's done several films, such as...
Well, in theaters right now, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, he did. He's working on the new Batman-Superman movie, which we can't talk about.
But we want to, but...
We were lucky and fortunate enough to be in Los Angeles to interview him, so we got to do the interview in his studio.
That's right. It's our first live interview with the person actually there in human flesh form.
That's right. I mean, we've had guest hosts that have been here, like Armand and Jacob, but we haven't had a interviewee. In person.
That's right, and not on the West Coast.
Yes, that was exciting.
It was
very
exciting.
Dan and I traveled to Los Angeles for 3 days, and then we went to Hawaii with Bob Simpson, who is our premiere episode co-host.
That's right. You'll remember him talking about Black Christmas.
And he also talked about the dancing movie.
That's right, Suspiria.
Suspiria. Bob's great, and we'll have him on again for our third season.
We're
gonna have a third season.
Oh, guess who's gonna live another day, guys?
Dan's been a little depressed since we've got back from Hawaii.
It's been hard readjusting, I'll be honest with you guys. I think we're at that place.
It is 3:56 in the afternoon.
If you're in New York, if you're in California, take away 3 hours. If you're in Hawaii, I want your life.
If you know what you want,
then you go and you find it and you get it. Do we want a child or not? And if you know what you want, you get it. You kill somebody, it's a murder. Maybe.
There are rights and wrongs. And
betweens, but the madness justifies the beat.
You were in this show and you don't remember any of the words.
Years ago I was in that show.
He's drinking coffee right now and it's cold.
No, it's not. It's because I didn't load the ice trays.
Past Dan foiled you again.
You ruined me. But it's all right. It's cooling down now.
So, we're excited because Jared had a lot of really incredible things to say about some of our favorite movies. He's worked on some of our favorite TV shows, American Horror Story being one of them. And he also works on some video games, and we're going to play you that interview.
Awesome. So
here he comes.
Here it is.
So here we are in Valley Village, California.
Yes.
With our good friends, Jared and Courtney. Courtney is Jared's wife.
Hi.
So we're so excited to be here. We're sitting here in your incredible studio. There's so much brilliance happening on the walls.
Artwork from American
Horrific
Horror Story
characters.
We're seeing.
American Horror Story, yeah.
Marvel
Who's this
things.
Guy? Is this
the
Spider-Man?
Fantastic Four, right?
It is.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He comes out of the sand, right?
No, it's the Thing. Ben Grimm from Fantastic Four. Yeah, that was a...
He's a looker.
He is, yeah.
That was for an early pitch, actually, of the new Fantastic Four that's coming out soon. They're actually working on it now. I did that back in, I think, 2009 for... Avi Arad, he wanted to see different looks for the character.
Are these all computer generated, or are they by hand, or both?
Well, you know, it really depends on the project. My process varies quite a bit. I love to draw and I love to paint stuff, but I now model things entirely in 3D sometimes, and it really depends on the needs of the client. I present a portfolio to the client, and I always look at what, you know, they respond to in the book. If they respond to sketches, it usually means that, oh, I can draw for them. Cool. If they only respond to photorealistic stuff, then some of the very first images I give them have to look realistic and have to look as the characters would appear on screen. Mm-hmm. And in order to accomplish that, I spend a lot of time in 3D and in Photoshop making that happen.
Very cool. Very cool. So now we started to talk about Conjuring a little bit. Uh-huh. We loved that movie.
Love it.
Hey, buddy. They have a dog.
That's a dog.
It's a dog.
Mika.
We're dog people.
Shout out. Mostly on IMDb, your list is character designer and concept artist. Which of those were you for Conjuring?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Do they kind of just pick your title for you, or you do a little bit of everything? Or?
Sometimes. I mean, I've worked on several films where I'm not even credited.
Oh.
So, you know, everything on IMDb is like a fraction of the projects that I've actually been involved with.
Wow.
Yeah, every time you see credits, it's probably a fourth of the people involved.
I'd imagine.
That's the thing about Jerry. You may not recognize the name, but you're definitely a fan of his work already. That's a guarantee.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know what my credit was on that. On Conjuring, I was, I believe, one of the only concept artists on that project.
That's
and
so cool.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was so well paced, that film.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
Yeah, that was a treat. I've done a lot of horror films, and you know, as you can imagine, and I am a horror fan, but you know, they're not always attached to the strongest scripts.
Right. That's
but, you know,
correct.
I can say that. Yeah.
We did a screenplay episode, didn't we, for the Academy Awards one?
For mm-hmm. Zach Ockowitz.
Yeah, who just got into the whole blacklist screenwriter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Variety mentioned him as like one of the number one screenwriters to look out for. Katrina's fiance. And
So blacklist is a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hollywood blacklist. I remember when we saw it, we were like, oh no.
Yes,
oh,
yeah.
Communist? Oh no, it's because he.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I understand.
And you worked on the new Nightmare on Elm Street, which is one of Dan's favorites.
Yeah. Well, I was on that briefly.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I'm on projects in the very beginning. Sometimes I go all the way through. Sometimes I come in the at the very end mm-hmm. of projects, and sometimes clients are not satisfied with, you know, what they shot in camera. And so for Nightmare on Elm Street, I came in really after the entire thing was shot and did some designs for digitally augmenting the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end. Yeah, it's fun. You get to play a small part.
Do makeup artists hate you?
When I'm not working with them, possibly. You know, and that's how it tends to be. You know, I've worked with, I've worked through practical makeup effects studios mm-hmm. where I'm, you know, I'm in-house and I'm working with the guys that are really building the stuff, which is really fun. Or I'm working with production. And my mentality in film is that, you know, it's all a group effort, you know, and nothing is just me, nothing is just the people I'm working for. It's always this collaboration, but there does tend to be a little bit of a us versus them mentality at times. And it's just funny being on both sides of that equation. It really depends on whoever hires you, really.
I was going to say, so, because you're obviously a fantastic artist, when
Thank
you go into these things, sometimes you're asked to do specific things. Mm-hmm. How does that work out with creative control?
Oh, well, creative control is fascinating. And it
doesn't exist. Aww. I'm just kidding.
It can exist at times, but I always, you know, when I was in my 20s, I would struggle with it a little bit more, and now that I'm in my early 30s, I've come to a point where I realize, you know, what my place is, what my position is, mm-hmm. and I'm simply brought in to facilitate the project. If the client wants me to be creative, I can be creative. As a matter of fact, anything that, you know, I work on, you know, they're hiring me for what I do,
mm-hmm.
But I'm often directed. I have to satisfy a few people that are above me, which
you
is...
You get, like, notes, you send something in, you get some...
Oh, yeah. That is the process, essentially. Like, a lot of projects just start with, you know, here's a brief description of the character. Let's see what you can do.
That's
love
so
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and
gotta be cool.
You'd be surprised, but on, like, big blockbuster films...
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. You know, there is an exploratory stage. I mean, when it comes to comic book movies, that's a bit different than, you know, an original IP, and it's this balance of taking designs for these characters who, you know, could have been done in the, like, from the 60s on, or, you know, in some cases, the 40s or 50s, and trying to make them relevant to, you know, today's audiences while still maintaining the integrity of these characters that people have loved for years. So it's a very hard job, and, you know, you do your best. I actually have an animated series that I've been shopping around. I got a director interested in recently. It's kind of a bit of a pipe dream of mine, but I have the entire... seasons outline, my pilot script, concept art, and everything. I've been shopping that around. I have treatments for children's movies.
Oh, cool.
And you know, even
it's so
some,
funny.
Like, sci-fi stuff.
I was gonna tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at your website or your Facebook, because I was Facebook stalking you,
uh-huh.
And you have this all these photo albums of all these scary, really creepy projects,
yeah.
And then Hop.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
I didn't realize that
was adorable, isn't he?
I didn't realize that was still up there. Yeah, that was to help get the film greenlit.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was just early concept work, and
it was still dark. There was a darkness to
it. Yeah,
I
can't help it. I don't know why. I think it's just me on default. If it's not horror, then it has to be a comic book character, and if it's not a comic book character, it's going to be cute, but it's going to have an edge to
it's
it.
Some kind of twist. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that you're a fan of these genres, so they really should trust you when it comes to comic book things. And
as they should trust us when it comes to stupidity.
That's not nice. Edit that out.
I will. But you want to ultimately be, at the end of the day, write a screenplay, sell it, or an animated pitch.
Yeah, get something of my own off the ground.
Right.
I have been given quite a bit of creative control on a few of these film projects, but, you know, it's not the same, and by having projects that I have full control over, I can get that balance, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I can go home, I can write, and I can try to make my own thing happen, and, you know, keep what I do on the job as just, you know, Jared on the job,
right.
Trying to get through what he wants, but knowing that, you know, he's just part of the pipeline, and that there are a lot of people that also need to sign off on a design.
Satisfying
in order to get
clients, right? That's
They're
satisfying clients.
And it's a great job. Either way, I mean, you know, I am paid to just sit in front of my computer and at times draw my favorite childhood characters.
Speaking of childhood, when did this all start? When did you have, like, crazy fucking nightmares as a kid? Like,
I get that one a lot. Yeah, I get that
were
question
your notebooks
a lot.
Really
frightening?
Detailed
you just
vivid.
Drew during class?
Did the
terrifying
teachers call your parents in and hold up your school drawings and say something's wrong?
Jared's family portraits.
Yeah.
We don't know why. We just...
Well, yeah, actually.
I knew it.
That's
good.
And Courtney can vouch. I've known my wife now for, what, like 20 years?
Nice. Wow.
And so, yeah, we went to elementary school, and she was always smiling, and I was always in a corner drawing. And
she has a smile. Like,
yeah, always, that's her
beaming
default.
You can't
face
see it, but it's a beautiful smile.
It is.
Just for one of the top 10.
Beaming.
Top
beaming. That's why I put a ring on her.
Oh, you have to. Because
she liked it.
Because he liked it.
Ring
on it.
But yeah, no, that actually did happen a couple of times with the meetings and parents and stuff like that.
All your pets died of normal reasons.
For the most part.
Great.
I mean, that can be, you know, whatever can be proven. But yeah, no, as a child, it was interesting. Like, I was talking to my mom about it, this is a couple of months ago, and she was obsessed with Halloween. You know, she really was, and she would always make me up every year, and it was really fun. She turned me into the Wolfman one year, and then it was the Invisible Man, which is a lot easier because it's just gauze. And
you could have been a mummy. You were definitely the Invisible Man.
I was specifically Claude Rains, Invisible Man.
So you had the hat and the...
Good.
Oh, wait, no.
No, it was
the robe. I was thinking Ghost Dad.
That's not...
Terrifying.
No, black and white.
Right.
Yeah. So gauze, sunglasses, robe, ascot, pajamas, slippers.
So creative.
Yeah. And it was really fun. And so she had a big influence on me. Also, when I was a kid, I was struggling with reading because I am dyslexic. And so she couldn't get me to read, you know, see Jane do whatever. And so she bought me these Step Up classics, these abridged versions of classic horror stories. Nice. So I had Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
So your mom is a huge influence for why.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't see R-rated films when I was a kid, but we had all
of
the...
But you kind of did anyway?
16, I was able to guilt
my
dad into it.
Clockwork Orange way too young.
Yeah.
I get that.
I wish I had had that restriction.
That's why, yeah.
I saw Scream when it came out.
Well, you were, like,
really?
15.
I mean...
Oh, no, you were younger.
No,
that was
7th grade.
7th grade, right.
That's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, but the Universal monsters. So I was watching The Wolfman and Dracula, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr.,
awesome.
Boris Karloff, all the Mummy and,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And so I got my fill with that, and I just became, obsessed with drawing my own.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you always really good at art? Like you just
no,
had
I don't
art?
Think no, no, I don't think
yes.
anybody is.
Oh,
yes.
The wife says
yes.
yes.
No, I we have this debate because I don't actually believe in the word talent.
Yikes!
Think, yeah,
that's gonna cause some problems.
Yeah, we struggle with that one because. You know, I just look at, you know, how long it took me to get where I currently am, and, you know, it's just drawing every single day, being more dedicated than most people I knew as a child, and just, it's a discipline. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just, if not kind of an obsession,
right.
of just, like perfecting what you're passionate about doing. And any person that I've ever met that wasn't as good as me, didn't work as hard, and every person that I've ever met that's better works harder. So it's you know, a very
simple... I mean, that's
simple...
a pretty fair conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
tough, because I think with theater and singing,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, Courtney and my
discipline,
background,
yeah.
there's a lot of natural what
oh,
just
yeah.
happens, and then you're like, oh, I should pursue this because I'm pretty good at it, and I feel
yeah.
like that's where the talent starts, and then, like you said... You work at it, you take classes.
Right.
I never took a dance class, so that's my horror movie. A dance class. There's a lot of films out there that you haven't gotten to work on. Are there any that you regret not being a part of, the design team?
Before I worked with Marvel Studios, I did do a bunch of Marvel movies through Fox and Sony,
mm-hmm.
which is separate from Marvel Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the properties are still partially... believe owned or Sony and Fox have the rights to Spider-Man and the rights to X-Men. I've done a couple of X-Men movies, and I've done the last two Spider-Man films.
Oh, great.
Nice.
But there have been films, actually, that I got to work on for, like, a second. And schedule-wise, I wasn't able to spend long enough time on it. Like, I got a call to do design work for... X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And I was already on Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I was about to jump on the Guardians of the Galaxy. And so, it's an X-Men movie, and I love doing X-Men films, because I love the X-Men characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only got on it for, like, two or three characters, and then I had to jump onto Marvel, and that team of artists, those guys are probably the best... It's the best art team in the industry.
The Marvel art team?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Through my experience.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are phenomenal, and I still keep in touch with them, and I believe I'll be starting up with them again soon.
Cool.
But yeah, I did not want any distractions, and so it was like, okay, two or three characters for, you know, the early design phase of X-Men Days of Future Past, and then... Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
and that was that took the majority of my focus. And then I saw Days of Future Past, and it was incredible. And I was like,
I loved it.
You know, I always wanted to do the Sentinels. I've always wanted to you know, just spend more time with those characters.
Which characters did you work on for that film?
I ended up doing some early costume illustrations, costume concept illustrations, which I believe is what I'm supposed to phrase it as.
Okay.
For, what did I do? I did a lot of Kitty Pryde, Shadow Cat.
Awesome. Favorite.
Yeah, she's cool. I did a little bit of Beast.
Nice.
And some Iceman stuff. And that was as long as, like, I mean, I was really stretching myself pretty thin at that point between the two projects.
What's a character that you've created from scratch that's 100% yours that's out there? And
oh, there are a few. One was for Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
mm-hmm.
was Koba, which is the evil
right.
chimp and or ape. From that film, and that was a bizarre circumstance. I remember I was working with a design studio, and they had gotten the characters, and I think they were short on the amount of images that they wanted to produce for the client, and so I just did two options for Koba, and nothing had been approved yet. But, you know, fortunately they put me on the evil monkey, and I was like, oh, I saw
your Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay, this one I can
do a twisted bunny. He can tackle
it. Probably handle that. Yeah. And, that I got approved in the first pass.
Cool.
Which was, you know, I was kind of surprised. And then in the second film, I was surprised that he had such a big role,
mm-hmm.
Because the other apes took, a lot longer to design. What else? I did Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
I saw that with the flaming skull.
Nice.
Yeah.
So good.
Nice.
That was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what else.
Did you do Infantata? Was that all yours?
Infantata. I was the only concept artist for season 1 and 2. And I designed Infantata with a lot of feedback from Christian Tinsley, the guy who owns Tinsley Studios, phenomenal artist. He's got, I think, a couple of Oscars
nice.
Under his
just
belt.
A couple.
And, And
is he the core guy for American Horror Story?
For season 1 and 2,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
And I did those shows with him, and that was a blast, because there was, I think, between the two of us, quite a bit of creative control. I mean, I would always... I always start with an image. And there were actually one or two characters that I got in the first pass for seasons 1 and 2. But with Tinsley's notes, it made it a lot easier to cut into the revision process. So Tinsley had a phenomenal idea for Infantata. The first pass we were actually going to do animatronic eyes. And so he wanted to do a fiberglass shell over the dwarf's head. And we literally needed to find a dwarf for that project. And a dwarf is very different than a little person anatomically.
There we go. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really
I was sitting
the crux
there, like,
of this conversation.
How do we...
But these are the things that, like, you have to, as a creature designer, and especially when dealing with practical effects, these are the things that you have to be aware of. Like,
right.
I have, you know, tons of medical reference, and I've unfortunately had to research quite a bit of...
Unfortunately, you say unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I've had to study, you know, burns. I've had to study...
Dark
stuff. You know, some of my earliest jobs were gore effects when I was, like...
Wounds and burn things.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
yeah.
When I was, like 14, I was doing stuff like that, and working in low-budget effects houses. And it was a lot of fun. But for Infantata, you know, oftentimes, you know, the way makeup designs are done, and they've been done this way for years, is before Photoshop, designers in practical effects houses would take photos of the actors and literally trace the designs right on top of their faces.
Oh, man.
And you have to be able to guarantee that whatever you design fits that actor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no better way to do it. I would love to draw everything from scratch, but... it's not practical.
Yeah.
And when it comes to designing a practical makeup, you have to know what your actor looks like, because there's one rule in practical makeup: unless it's being digitally altered, you can only add with makeup.
Okay.
You cannot subtract. There are ways that you can subtract, which can be brilliant, but it always makes the actors more uncomfortable.
Wow.
Yeah. But with... anyways, back to... Infantata, or Baby. I forgot what they called the character.
Infantata.
Oh, did they call
it Infantata? In the show, yeah.
In the show, yeah.
I don't think they actually refer to it in the script, but...
Yeah, in the show, it's like Baby something.
Yes,
And so, Tinsley wanted to build this, like, fiberglass shell over the actor's head, and it would cover the eyes, and so everything from the nose down would be the actor's face, but then they would have these big animatronic eyes, and so that's why if you look at my website, you can see versions of Infantata where the eyes are just gigantic.
Yeah.
But they decided to go a lot more simple with it and just utilize the actor's face.
Mm.
And so...
it was pretty effective either way.
Oh, yeah.
It really
definitely
worked.
No, that was a beautiful makeup. I wish I knew who... I'm trying to remember who sculpted that.
Speaking of makeup, Naomi...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I really wanted to talk about, because we got to interview
her. We interviewed her our couple episodes ago, and she was wonderful, just a delight.
Yeah.
Very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't get to spend a lot of time with her directly. It was
no.
More, yeah.
This is where it all happens right here. I'm in a dark room with a computer.
And I had a specific question about that, because the character Pepper, that makeup they said was pretty much is based on the...
Pinhead.
What is it? That old movie, Freaks?
Freaks, yeah.
That's where she came from, kind of. And if you look, it looks very much like the character from Freaks. Did they specifically say, for this reference, this is where
they
we're going
they
with it?
They kept calling her a
Pinhead.
They kept referring
that's
to
the...
Her.
I hope that's not the medical term for it. But yeah, those were the pinheads, and they tend to have... their heads tend to taper.
Right.
And we were... I enhanced the nose, and there was some prosthetics done on the face. Again, Tinsley, phenomenal studio. I literally spent maybe an hour on the designs, and then just shipped them off.
Cool.
Like that was it. And that happened with a lot of designs for that show. One design that got through in the first pass was I forgot the name of the actor. He's a very talented guy. He was the burn victim on that show. And it was season 1.
Season 1,
and I had, again, that was an image that, I had to paint directly on top of the actor to make sure that the makeup would fit. But that
Dennis O'Hare.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That burn makeup was, that
was like,
the very...
Got burnt? Oh, right.
Yeah. That was
lot.
The very first design I did, and that one went through. And
it was great.
Yeah,
they did
very well done.
A beautiful job, The wonderful thing about working on horror films and why it's like the cornerstone of practical effects projects is because the benefit is actually that there is a low budget, believe it or not. And because it's a low budget, it usually has to be a puppet and it usually has to be a guy in a suit. And what that does is, by default... makes a character that's more grounded in reality.
That's right.
That's experiencing the scene with the actor.
That's right.
There's no compositing. There's no animation to worry about. It's there.
It's really comforting to hear that you understand these things, and it shows in your work. And
well, it's interesting. Yeah. You have to come to all of these projects with a in-depth understanding of design and reality. And if you start every design project in that way, because when you are starting most of these design projects, the client is looking at what you bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start grounded in reality, and if you start with good design, that's your job. If you're pushed in different directions, that happens. That definitely happens. That happens all the time. But because there's that grounded character to begin with, oftentimes it doesn't get too unbelievable.
Yeah.
So as a designer, just right off the bat, that's what I have to do. What was that? I just finished. So I've been teaching for about 7 years now, and I get messages online, people asking me if I have a tutorial, and I finally got to do one through Noman, which is one of the schools I teach at, Noman School of Visual Effects.
Which
and
is
I,
spelled with a G, just in case.
It is.
A silent J.
Good,
all right.
Silent.
Good Noman.
Good to, yes.
Genoman.
Genoman.
Genoman. And I finally had the opportunity to do a full tutorial, I went kind of overboard. It's about 6.5 hours long. Yeah, and I edited it by myself here in my studio.
Is it? It's online?
Yeah, it's now available for streaming.
And
it's
what is that address?
Yeah, how can we find it? That was stumpy. That was supposed
to check out the Gnomon Workshop website, and you should find it. But it's called Designing the Alien Rock Rubber.
Ooh.
And as I mentioned, yeah, it's as in-depth as I could possibly make it, because I knew I would not have another opportunity to do a tutorial, and so I start from...
Good for you.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
You know, it's, I always wanted to do one of these things, because there are tons of industry professionals, like really big names, who've done these DVDs, and when I was in college, I went to Art Center. There were times when, you know, in order to get a BFA, you have to take classes, some classes you don't even want to take, and I ditched a couple of those. And I went
those were all my classes.
I ditched a couple of those, and I ended up going into the library because they had the full collection of these Gnomon DVDs.
Oh.
And I watched tutorials from my favorite artists. And I always said, you know, one day I'm gonna do one of these. And I finally got the chance. And so I go from creating a brief description of the character, doing rough sketches of that character, to building it completely in 3D. And then rendering it photorealistically in some software, and then bringing it into Photoshop. And I just go through the entire design pipeline. What's it like to be a creature designer? What is the approach to manipulating human and animal anatomy to create something that's convincing? And so it put a lot of time into that, and it's
good
it's
for
fine.
You.
Congratulations. Ooh. That's really cool.
They'll check
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
You will check
you
it
will
out.
Check it out.
We like to close every interview with some James Lipton questions, but more related towards I Stood on Your Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What sound or noise scares you?
We've never done this before.
What sound or noise scares
like
you?
It.
That's a good one. Thud.
Ooh,
a thud.
Thud is a...
Like a body falling on the
ground.
Well, that's
the thing.
Well, that's
thud
the thing with thud, yeah.
Maybe it's
a
refrigerator.
Yeah.
It
has significant weight to it, and it's hard
yeah.
to determine, but it's most likely organic. You know, it's something that was alive that is no longer vertical.
Oh, God.
Thud. I'm
yeah,
just
thud's
God.
Pretty bad.
So you're not,
yeah.
you're not a big believer in wind causing...
No, not really. I think that
wind and talent get out of here. There's no such thing as
foreboding.
Wind and talent.
But nothing like thud says, oh, something bad just happened.
Yeah.
You know, wind is like, oh, it's windy.
Mine's like a baby laughing at 3 a.m. and you have no baby.
Yeah. Oh, that's messed up.
That's messed up.
I wasn't going to go that far with it. But yeah, I was keeping it not as supernatural,
right.
I guess.
Sorry.
No,
I got inspired by everything
around. Supernatural.
Oh, it could be, but you don't know, because it's a thud.
I answered
right.
my question already. Where
yeah.
did the baby come from?
Do I have
is it a
baby?
Baby?
It's not a baby.
And then it turns out it's an old woman, which is even scarier.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight.
What a fun interview.
I had such a great time.
He was
so,
so sweet, and I've known Courtney for his wife for years, since I was 16.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so that was a real treat. Thank you, Courtney, for setting that up, and thank you, Jared, for being awesome.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, and thanks for having us in your home.
We were in their home.
We were in where
someone
the magic
let us,
happens.
Someone trusted us. In
yeah,
their home.
Can you believe it?
So, thank you for joining us for this episode. It was one of our favorites. Jared, you're great. We will definitely be forcing you back on the show.
That's right. Thanks again, Jared. That was so much fun.
And you can tweet us at Spit on Your PCast. And our Facebook page is I Spit on Your Podcast. So check us out, like us, follow us. We always post really fun things on Facebook.
We do. People like them.
They
and
do.
People like them. It's very...
Nobody could see what you were doing, so it just
I didn't do
weird.
Anything.
You
I didn't...
You kind of emphasized with your hands the...
But you don't need... You know what I meant? It's the idea that you can like something in real life and then like it on the... You know, I'm not speaking French here, people. And even if I were, people would know what I was saying.
Okay, now that's...
I've never taken French.
Can I teach you something in French right
sure.
now?
Sure.
Ready?
Is it horror related?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Omelette du fromage.
omelette du fromage. Okay. How was it? Like, was that good?
Do you know what I said?
No.
Omelette with cheese.
Ew!
He hates eggs.
I hate eggs, you
guys.
So
it is like a horror movie.
It's true. I hate eggs. I hate eggs so much.
I couldn't get him to eat them in Hawaii.
No, it's true. I, for my...
All those eggs had to grow out.
Ugh, so gross. Actually, I think I told you this before. When I was in... I guess I was a junior at Wagner. We were doing Shakespeare, and we were doing Macbeth, and I had to be Macbeth, and I... So before every time we did the scene...
You get... Hold on.
What?
Dan gets cast in the craziest fucking
roles. Well, this was acting class.
No,
so it's
you
like,
were
you know.
Jean Valjean. You were the baker.
That was
baker.
High school.
You
well, that was
baker.
College. Baker was college.
And Macbeth. It's the most versatile actor of our time is sitting right next to me, guys.
It's a school, so it's, you know, it's a learning environment. So
like Grey's Anatomy.
Like Grey's Anatomy.
It's a learning hospital.
That's also horrifying.
Teaching hospital.
But, so what I would do is I brought in pumpkins, and this was all backstage, pre-work, and I would stab the shit out of pumpkins. And the thing for the blood, because I wanted to be covered in blood, but obviously...
So the guts
since
and blood
I,
were
like,
eggs and food coloring? Oh, God, I sped that story right up. I'm